Okay, welcome back to Four Winds Fellowships. I'm Tim Warner, your teacher. We are in module number 2 in our Bereans Bible Institute. We are studying the doctrine of God and His Son, which we call apostolic monotheism. This is lesson number 13. We have been going through the book of John and looking at some of the highlights that deal with who Jesus is, where He came from, and so forth. And last time we did some important scripture from chapter 5. Today I would like to focus on chapter 6. There's a lot in this chapter. What I think I'd like to do first is read beginning in verse 22. I want to read several verses, and then we're going to highlight certain things in some of these statements and talk about that. All right, so what you have on your screen is the Gospel of John, chapter 6, beginning of verse 22, from the LGV, the Last Generation Version. That translation is available on our Four Winds website. If you go to www.fourwindsfellowships.net, click on the link that says LGV at the top, and then click on John, and you can download it and keep that if you would like. All right, so that's what we have on the screen. I'm going to begin reading in verse 22. The next day the crowd, the one which stood on the other side of the Jordan, having observed that no other boat had been there except the one which his disciples had stepped into, and that Jesus did not accompany his disciples into the boat, but his disciples came alone. The other boats came out of Tiberias near the place where they ate the bread of which the master gave thanks. And that's the miracle of Jesus multiplying the loaves. Verse 24. When the crowd saw that Jesus is not still there, nor his disciples, they also stepped into the other boats and came into Capernaum seeking Jesus. And finding him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when have you arrived here?" Then Jesus responded to them and said, "Truly, truly, I tell you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate from the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that is perishing, but for the food which endures unto age-enduring life, which the Son of Man will give you. For this is the one the Father God sealed." That is, the Son is the one the Father God sealed. Note, he is drawing a comparison here between the food, the physical food, which Jesus multiplied the bread and the fishes, and he's comparing that with himself as being food or the source of the true life, that is immortality, which is the one that God the Father has sealed. All right, verse 28. Then they said to him, "What should we do so that we may be working the works of God?" Jesus responded and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you should believe unto that one whom he sent." Then they said to him, "What sign are you doing so that we may see and may believe you? What are you performing?" Now that's a pretty remarkable statement, because these are the same people who saw the Jesus multiply the bread and the fish and who ate from that very thing, which was a miracle. Now they're asking for a new sign to prove that he was who he claimed to be. So they say in verse 31, scroll down here, it says, "Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. According as it has been written, he gave them bread out of the sky to eat." Now, this is an interesting statement that they're making. In other words, essentially what they're saying is, look, we saw you multiply some bread and some fish, and there seemed to be somewhat of a miraculous thing, perhaps. But our fathers ate for 40 years. They ate the manna that God gave in the desert. And so apparently what they seem to be saying here is, okay, so your sign is impressive, but it's not nearly as impressive as what Moses did what God did when he sent the manna from heaven for 40 years in the wilderness. So look at Jesus' response to this in verse beginning here in verse 32. Then Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I tell you, Moses has not given you bread out of the sky, but my Father is, present tense, giving you the true bread out of the sky. For the bread of God is the one who descends out of the sky and gives life to the world. Now I want you to note that statement. The bread of God is the one who descends out of the sky and gives life to the world. Now obviously he's talking about himself, right? Verse 34, then they said to him, Master, give us this bread always. Yet Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. The one coming to me should absolutely not hunger, and the one believing unto me should absolutely not thirst ever. But I said to you that you have also seen me and do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one coming to me I should absolutely not cast out. Now notice verse 38, because I have descended out of the sky, not so that I may do my own will, but the will of the one sending me. Yet this is the will of the Father who sent me, so that the whole entity which has been given me, I should lose nothing out of it, but I will raise it up in the last day. Yet this is the will of the one who sent me, so that the whole entity seeing the Son and believing unto him may have age enduring life. And I will raise this, that is the whole entity, up at the last day. And he's there talking about the whole group of believers. Excuse me. Verse 41. Then the Judeans were complaining about him because he said, I am the bread that descended out of the sky. And they were saying, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, of whom we have seen his father and mother? How then is this one saying that, quote, I have descended out of the sky? Then Jesus responded and said to them, do not complain with one another. No one is able to come to me unless the Father, the one having sent me, should draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It has been written in the prophets, quote, and they all will be taught of God, end quote. Therefore, the whole entity, having heard from the Father and having learned, comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one, now notice this, except the one who is from God, this one has seen the Father. That is the one who is out of the sky. Verse 47, truly, truly, I tell you, the one believing unto me has age enduring life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which descends out of the sky, so that anyone may eat from it and not die. I am the living bread, having descended out of the sky. If anyone should ever eat of this bread, he shall live unto the age. Yet the bread which I give is also my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Judeans fought among themselves, saying, how is this one able to give us the flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and should drink his blood, you do not have life in yourselves. The one chewing my flesh, I know that sounds a little odd, chewing there, but that's literally what the Greek says. The one chewing my flesh and drinking my blood has age-enduring life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is truly food, and my blood is truly drink. The one who is chewing my flesh and is drinking my blood is remaining in me, and I in him. In the same way as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father also, the one chewing me, that one will live because of me. This is the bread which descended out of the sky, not as your fathers ate the manna and died. The one chewing this bread will live unto the ages. These things he said in the synagogue in Capernaum. Then many from his disciples said, this is a difficult word. Who is able to hear it? Verse 61. Yet Jesus, having observed in himself that the disciples are complaining about this, he said to them, is this offending you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascending to where he was formerly? The bread is what makes alive. Excuse me, the breath is what makes alive. The flesh is not benefiting at all. The saying which I am telling you, this is breath and is life. But there are some from among you who do not believe. All right, let's just stop there for just a moment. And I'm going to bring up on the screen some of these verses that I have in a graphic. which we want to focus our attention on. Now, I wanted to read the entire dialogue that he had with the Jews first, just so you have everything in its context, and you know, the fact that I'm going to point to some of these scriptures here, I want you to see those. I'm not taking them out of context, okay? All right, so let's go back here to verse 29. It says, Jesus responded and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you should believe unto the one whom he sent." Then they said to him, "What sign are you doing so we may see and believe you? What are you performing? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. Accordingly, it has been written, he gave them bread to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I tell you, Moses has not given you bread out of the sky, but my Father is giving you the true bread out of the sky. For the bread of God is the one who descends out of the sky." Now, I have some of these things highlighted here, and what I want to point out to you is, first before I do that, Trinitarians have no problem with this passage at all. They take it exactly as it's written. They take this to refer to Christ having come down from heaven. They have some differences with us on what that actually means, but for the most part, Trinitarians take this whole passage in the same way that we do, even though we are non-Trinitarians. On the other hand, you have Unitarians, especially the group known as Biblical Unitarians, who have a great deal of difficulty with all of the pre-existence language in the Gospel of John. You may remember that we spent quite a bit of time in John's prologue looking at it verse by verse. It talks about, you know, the Word who was made flesh and so forth and tabernacled among us. We spent some time on John 3:13, which contrasts Christ's descending from heaven with his ascending to heaven. It says, "No one has ascended into heaven but the one who came down from heaven." So we see that those things are juxtaposed. So by the time we get to chapter 6 in John, it's already been firmly established that Christ has come down from heaven, that he claimed to have come down from heaven, that John indicated that he came down from heaven. We've seen many, many evidences of that up to this point in the Gospel of John. Now, what our Unitarian friends will do is they will take this passage and say, yes, but all of that, all of these statements in the Gospel of John are figurative language. They're not literal. Jesus and John are not speaking literally about him as a person coming down from heaven. And so they will point to John chapter 6, where Jesus refers to himself as the bread of God that comes down from heaven. And they will say something like, see, Jesus is not literally bread. Jesus is not literally manna. He's speaking in allegory or in metaphor. And so therefore, since he's not literally bread, he did not literally descend out of the sky. All right, so that's pretty much their argument. And their entire argumentation about John's gospel, because again, there are many statements in John's gospel that point to Christ's preexistence and to the fact that he came down from heaven, that he previously was in heaven, that he could speak about the things of heaven, he said to Nicodemus, because that's where he's from. He's from heaven. So we see all these statements. And what's also important here is that though a lot of those statements were made prior to this particular dialogue in chapter 6. So someone reading the Gospel of John, and you know, when John wrote his gospel, he wrote it to be read. He wrote it as a sort of an evangelistic gospel presentation. At the end of it, he writes, you know, that these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So John's not writing his gospel just for the edification of Christians. He's writing his gospel as for those who are considering becoming Christians, to explain who this Jesus is and was. All right. So with that in mind, it doesn't make any sense for John to use all this pre-existence language that we have seen already from chapter 1 through chapter 5, using all that kind of language, and then waiting until we get to chapter 6 to claim that, oh no, all of this is just metaphor or allegory. Because that's not how one writes this kind of a presentation. You first, if you're going to make it clear that your statements need to be interpreted as allegory and metaphor, you need to make that point up front, not much later in the book, right? Where, because people reading what has come before, the natural reading of the text from chapter 1 through chapter 5 indicates in many ways that Christ preexisted and that he was in the beginning with God, that through him all things were created, that he came down from heaven, all these things, right? We've got all that ahead of this. So to say this now, because the bread is a metaphor, therefore everything about Christ coming down from heaven is a metaphor, and the entire Gospel of John is not reasonable. It's not a reasonable explanation for that. All right, now, what we're also going to see is that in this chapter itself, the language of the chapter does not allow for that kind of interpretation either, right? Yes, the bread from heaven refers, first of all, of course, to the manna in the wilderness, but then when Jesus claims to be the true bread out of the sky, which we see here, that the word bread is indeed a metaphor, because Christ, and he draws that parallel, because he says then, you know, those who eat my flesh. And of course we know that is referring later to the what we refer to as communion. And during the Christian Passover, when Jesus gave to his disciples the bread during the Passover, and he said, this is my body, and so forth. So he's kind of explaining what he meant here earlier in the Gospel of John by eating his flesh, right? So clearly the bread is a metaphor. There's no question about that. But the question then is, does the fact that the bread is a metaphor mean that all of this language is metaphorical? And the answer to that is absolutely not. And it's required that the rest of this is literal because of the use of pronouns. All right, so let's look at verse 32 again, and then we'll look at these verses again. I want you to be especially aware of the pronouns that Jesus uses and the verbs that he uses in reference to his coming down from heaven. All right, so he says, my Father is giving you the true bread out of the sky. Again, the bread is metaphor. Out of the sky is not metaphor. It's consistent with all the other language in John. For the bread of God is the one. Now notice this. This is a masculine personal pronoun. The bread of God is the one who descends out of the sky. Notice he didn't say the bread out of the sky is the one who descends. He says the bread of God is the one who descends. So what we have here is, this is the metaphor, the bread of God. And this is what he is applying it to. Now, what is a metaphor? A metaphor is a comparison of two things, right? If you say life is a beach, that's a metaphor. It's a kind of a common expression. It's a metaphor. Now, the subject is life. A beach is being compared to life because a beach is relaxing and enjoyable and things of that nature, right? So you're comparing two things. You're comparing life with a beach, and that's what metaphors do. They compare two things. So we are comparing two things. The first thing we're comparing is the bread of God, and that is the one who descends out of the sky. The one is a person, and descends out of the sky is descends is the verb that's being applied to the one. So this literally means that a person descends out of the sky, not just the bread descends out of the sky. All right, I hope you get that. All right, and gives life to the world. Because, now look at this, first person singular pronoun, I have descended out of the sky. That's a statement in and of itself. It cannot be taken as a metaphor. Jesus is a person. and the person Jesus descended out of the sky. That's what this language requires. But look at the next statement. Not so that I may do my own will, but the will of the one sending me. Now, this statement right here explains the reasoning of why Jesus descended out of the sky. He did it with a purpose in mind. This is the purpose in mind that he used when he descended out of the sky. And notice it has to do with doing his own will versus doing the will of the Father. So the purpose of descending out of the sky, and it's his purpose, not God's purpose. Right? That's what's important here. Not that I may do my own will, but the will of the one sending me. So Jesus, or the one who descended out of the sky, in descending out of the sky, already had in his own mind and will a purpose. And it was not to do his own will, but to do the will of the one sending him. He had to be a person in order for this to be true at the time that he descended out of the sky. All right, now look at verse 41. Then the Judeans were complaining about him because he said, quote, I am the bread that descended out of the sky, end quote. And they were saying, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, of whom we have seen his father and mother? How then is this one saying that, quote, I have descended out of the sky? Now notice, this is important because it shows how the Jews, his audience, understood what he was saying. They're not stupid. They understood metaphor, and they understood that Jesus could not literally be bread, and they understood that Jesus was not the manna in the Old Testament. They understood the metaphor that he was making and the connection that he was drawing with the manna. The problem they had with it wasn't with the metaphor. It wasn't with the connection to the manna. The problem they had with it was the fact that he was claiming to have descended out of the sky as a person. That's exactly how they understood it. And notice the proof that they had that Jesus had not descended out of the sky, because we have seen his father and mother. Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph? Have we not seen his father and mother? They knew his father and mother. So they were essentially concluding that because apparently Joseph was his father and he was born from Mary, his mother, that he had to come into the world in the natural way of all other humans. And therefore, he could not have come down out of the sky, right? So then we skip down to verse 46, and Jesus says, not that anyone has seen the Father except, and notice again, we have again the personal pronoun here, except the one who is from God, this one has seen the Father. Now clearly, if he's seen the Father, he was in heaven. And we've seen that statement earlier also in the Gospel of John about the one who has seen God. All right, so no one has seen God except the only begotten Son, right? John 1:18. All right, so now let's go down to verse 51. And this is this last section, in my opinion, really nails down the case that Jesus was claiming to literally have come down from the Father in heaven, which requires that he preexisted his birth as a human being. Verse 51, I am the living bread having descended out of the sky. Again, I am the living bread having descended out of the sky. If anyone should ever eat of this bread, he shall live unto the age. Yet the bread which I give is also my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now, verse 61 is critical because the disciples are complaining about what Jesus is saying, especially about the part about eating his flesh. They took great offense at that. So in verse 61, Jesus makes this final statement, which in my opinion completely destroys the biblical Unitarians' explanation of this passage. Yet Jesus, having observed in himself that his disciples are complaining about this, said to them, "Is this offending you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascending to where he was formerly?" He, personal pronoun, where he was formerly. Again, we have this juxtaposition that we saw in John 3:13. No one has ascended to heaven but the one who came or descended from heaven. Clearly, if ascended to heaven is literal, which we know it was, the disciples observed Jesus ascend to heaven, then descending from heaven must also be literal in John 3:13, and we have the same scenario playing out right here. What then if you should see the Son of Man ascending to where he was formerly? And that, of course, is referring to heaven in this context. All right. I hope you made sense of all that. I hope you got that. My main point in this lesson is to show that the interpretation that is being offered by biblical Unitarians who deny the preexistence of Christ, they deny that he actually came down from heaven, that he actually existed in heaven, that he was in the beginning with God, that all was created through him. This statement right in here, this thing about him coming from heaven but being the bread of life, that is their where they hang their entire argument in the book of John against all the pre-existence language in John, comes from the fact that the bread is a metaphor, and so therefore they have basically made a great deal of the Gospel of John metaphorical based on their claim that the statement here, the bread from heaven, is entirely metaphorical, and that from heaven must also be metaphorical, and that all the pre-existence language in John is metaphorical simply because Jesus claims to be the bread that came down from heaven. It's not logical. It does not explain the logical progression of the Gospel of John. It's not even logical in this chapter, never mind to explain away all of that pre-existence language in John's Gospel. It just does not work. It is a... they're taking their own developed theology and imposing it on the Gospel of John instead of allowing the plain sense of the Gospel of John to inform their theology. So it's completely backwards. It's totally subjective. And they're just, all they're doing is forcing John to agree with their theology. But unfortunately, they're greatly distorting it in the process. And in distorting all the pre-existence language in John, they're also missing out on a whole lot of benefit in the gospel, which we'll explain that in a future lesson. All right. Anyway, that's it for today. God bless, and we'll see you next time.